Welcome to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. If you want to create change in any area of your life, you're in the right place. Together, we'll explore the strategies and tools I've used to lose over 100 pounds, pay off $130,000 in debt, and become a multiple seven-figure business owner. I've supported thousands of women to levels of execution and fulfillment they didn't know were possible. So if you're frustrated, if you're doubting yourself, if you're not enjoying the journey, there's a better way. Together, we'll break through your past patterns, we'll eliminate the appeal of your excuses so you can get consistent, stay consistent, create the results you want, and most importantly, enjoy the journey. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. Thanks so much for joining me today. I am so excited to talk to you about this. I've been on a journey with my own body postpartum, and really, I think that having kids has just given me such a more robust desire to be as healthy as possible and be free from any aches and pains, not only presently, but as I get older. I want to be the mom who can run around in the playground and crawl through tunnels and do the things that my kids want to do. That's so important to me. And after my C-section, so I had 3 C-sections and 4 babies in less than 2.5 years, and my pregnancy with the twins in particular was just really, really hard on my body, and I was on modified bed rest. And after the twins were delivered, I think I've talked about this here before, I had some back pain and some knee pain that was just nagging, and it didn't really keep me from doing anything except being super comfortable in my body, right? And it would kind of come and go. I wanted to get rid of it. And I simultaneously have been on a journey to really heal my core. I had some pretty typical abdominal separation after my pregnancy with the twins, and I think probably too, just getting pregnant back to back to back to back like that. And so I've just been really educating myself about the whole body, and the way that oftentimes when we have back pain or knee pain or shoulder pain, it's not a shoulder issue or a back issue or a knee issue. It's actually just showing up there, but originating elsewhere. And that is true mostly as it relates to our feet. You cannot have a strong back if you have weak feet. You cannot have healthy knees or healthy ankles or healthy hips if you have weak feet. And maybe it's not presenting itself for you right now, but it's coming. It's coming. Your risk of injury is dramatically higher if you don't have strong feet. And it's the most neglected body part for everybody that I know. There are a lot of people who are doing squats and deadlifts or who are walking regularly, but they don't give any intentionality or really consideration to their feet. And I would say it was maybe about a year ago that my sister was having some knee issues, and we were talking about it and both referencing a prominent expert in all sorts of rehab, and that is Knees Over Toes Guy. That's literally what he goes by, Knees Over Toes Guy. That's how you can find him on social media and on YouTube. And we were both like, oh my gosh, yes, Knees Over Toes Guy. He is the best at helping people rehab their knees and their ankles and their hips and their back. And one of his pillars, in fact, I would say this is his biggest pillar, is that we need to be intentional about developing strong feet. And he talks about how when you deviate from the body's natural design, it leads to problems. And when you restore your body's natural design, it results in fewer problems. So one of the big issues with our feet is that we've deviated so far from our body's natural design by shoving our feet into shoes that are too narrow for our feet. They don't allow our toes to spread. The soles don't allow our feet to grip the ground. And so over time, wearing shoes that are too narrow, wearing shoes too often, and wearing heels, but also stiff-soled shoes that don't allow our feet to bend and grip and flex the way they should, we have really weak feet. And the muscles in our feet cannot function as intended. And then we see downstream problems, or literally upstream problems, where we lack ankle flexibility, we lack Achilles tendon flexibility and structure and function, we lack knee flexibility and knee strength and knee durability, as well as hip and back, and it stems from the feet. There's so many bones and muscles in the feet. There's like 26 bones in the feet, 29 muscles in the feet, each foot, right? 26 bones in each foot, 29 muscles that are associated with the foot. And by and large, we don't focus on having strong, flexible, durable feet. If you think about, you go to a regular box gym and you decide you're going to do a leg press, right? You're either sitting in a seat and your feet are on that plate and you push your feet and you're pressing the weight away from your body with your feet. Your feet are not engaged in that at all. They're completely turned off. And the same thing is true if you think about going into one of those box gyms and you're going to do a leg extension or you're going to do a hamstring curl. Nothing. For the feet, nothing. Your foot is not strengthened, not stretched. It is completely static. You walk around in shoes with a stiff sole. Your feet are not stretched or strengthened, and oftentimes they're impaired because the toe box of the majority of shoes is not wide enough. I can't say this enough, and it was such a turning point for me in my total body health, the health of all of my joints, and I think in my overall fitness, when I realized that you cannot have healthy knees if you have weak feet. You cannot have a strong back if you have weak feet. You just can't. And a lot of people have feet that aren't strong enough for their quads. They have feet that aren't strong enough for their hamstrings. They're out of balance because they haven't been actually training their feet. And the imbalance in having a back that is worked more than the feet, or hamstrings, quads that are worked more than the feet, calves that are worked more than the feet, the imbalance causes pain and injury. One of the things that I've learned is to be more intentional about applying pressure from the ground up as opposed to like from the top down. So there's a place for squatting. Squatting is really important. But if you are squatting more, disproportionately more than you're focused on that ground up pressure, then you're going to create a situation where your quads and your hamstrings and your glutes are too strong for your feet. And that is going to pull on and create imbalances in your back, your hips, your knees, your ankles. And so many injuries happen because we are not strong from the ground up, from our toes through our feet to our ankles. I mean, I get it. I have a 2-year-old. We sing this song all the time, but it's very, very true. The foot bone is connected to the ankle bone. The ankle bone's connected to the knee bone, to the hip bone, to the backbone, and not just the bones, right? The ligaments and the muscles. And so for most people, we have deformed feet. Our toes are squished together as a result of being in shoes. Our feet have no functional strength, durability, and flexibility. And so we're just on a path to instability, injury, and pain. Of course, it begs the question, what do we do about it? What do we do about it? One thing that I have added to my daily routine every single day is at least 5 minutes of walking backwards, which seems really, really silly until you get into the science and you understand the data out there and the connectivity between the feet and the ankles and the legs and the hips and the quads and the glutes and the back. And then you realize what happens when we step backwards is we're pushing through our toes on every single step. And I really try to do this back barefoot. So sometimes it doesn't work out that way. But when it doesn't work out that way, I want to be in the most minimal shoes possible, meaning the most like thin, flexible sole possible, not big sneakers that have, you know, an inch and a half of cushioning and padding that doesn't allow your foot to engage or activate at all. So this could just be outside in the yard. Roman's playing in the sandbox. The girls are crawling around and I'm just walking around the backyard barefoot. Or sometimes I don't get to do that outside. And so I'll do it on my treadmill. For best results, if you're using a treadmill, you don't want it to be like a motorized treadmill, or you want to do it with the treadmill off. And so then you're getting that resistance through the toes, then the feet. 5 minutes every single day, no matter what. You do it in your living room, right? Walk backwards 10 paces, walk forward 10 paces, walk backward 10 paces, and just do that if you're watching TV. That is huge. Another change that I made recently is I actually bought my own sled, not like down a hill in the snow sled, but there are sleds that like my gym has them and I use them there, but I want to have it at home so that I can do this most days of the week and I'm only at the gym a few days a week. But essentially, either an empty sled or you can load the sled with weight. And I want to do 10 minutes daily forwards and backwards. I've been incorporating it in my gym days, but I purchased a sled. I'm not affiliated with any sleds or any, you know, fitness equipment companies. But I purchased that so that I can do it daily and so that Chris can do it daily. And so that when my mom is here, I'm going to have my mom do it as well, because my mom absolutely has weak feet. Most of us do. You are an anomaly if you're listening to this and you're like, I train my feet every day. God bless you. Where have you been all my life? You are ahead of me. This is something I've just been doing for the last like 4 to 6 months, but it is a game changer in how my body feels and also my strength and stability that translates to other things I do. My flexibility, my agility. The other day I was carrying both of the twins. They're about 26 pounds each. So, you know, 50 plus pounds in my arms, and I was carrying them both off the deck. So there's like two steps off the deck. And when I got to the grass off the bottom step, I stepped on one of our dog's bones and it was wet because the grass was dewy and I started to slip. But because of this work that I've been doing with my feet, my foot's ability to grip and grasp the ground and my ankle and knees flexibility and agility to be able to respond to not only the unstable movement of my body, but loaded with over 50 pounds and not 50 static pounds, right? I wasn't carrying a dumbbell. I was carrying toddlers that move around. And as soon as I start moving, they start moving and we're getting pulled in a million directions. And I was so grateful. Like, this is so functional and something that is part of absolutely every single day. And it doesn't take a lot of time. The payoff is disproportionate because I don't want a bad back. I don't want bad knees. I want strong, durable, resilient, flexible joints and muscles. And it requires that we work the knees. So let's talk about what you can do, because maybe you don't want to buy a sled. Maybe you can't buy a sled. Maybe you don't have any room for a sled. Don't worry. There are other things you can do. The first one that everybody can do is be barefoot more often. Allow your foot to have to work harder just with every step around your house. Shoes that we have tend to be, and even if you're getting minimalist shoes, you still should be working to be barefoot more. But the shoes that we have, they kind of take our foot out of the equation, and that just facilitates a lack of strength and flexibility and durability in the foot. So barefoot more often as possible. My kids very rarely wear shoes. We're just getting to that winter season where they'll, you know, wear them out and about more often just to keep their feet warm. But aside from that, never wear shoes. When you are wearing shoes, look first and foremost for shoes that have a wide toe box. They are not as sexy. They are not as pretty. Agree. But The narrow-toed shoes are extremely unhealthy for your foot. And by being unhealthy for your foot, they're unhealthy for your ankles, for your knees, for your hips, for your back, for your whole body. So wide toe box. My mom was on me. My grandparents used to buy shoes for my mom, and then, or my great grandparents bought shoes for my mom, and my grandparents bought shoes for me. So my mom's always been like, let me buy shoes for the kids. Like, okay, cool, whatever. One less thing I have to worry about. But it took me forever to find kids' shoes with a wide toe box that also, here's the other thing you want to look for, that have more minimalist, flexible soles. Right? So you're not getting this really thick, stiff, cushiony, bouncy, walking on a cloud type of shoe. Comfortable? Yeah. But they're just allowing your foot to atrophy. They're demanding nothing of your foot. So the first thing you want to look for is wide toe box. I'd rather have you in a wide toe box shoe with a stiff or thick sole than just being like, oh, I can't find anything, so you wear what you're always wearing. Wide toe box, think you want your toes to be able to spread. You don't want your pinky toe jammed in. You don't want your big toe jammed in. You want all of your toes to be able to spread. That's number one. If you also want to take the next step, be looking for more minimalist, flexible soles. This is especially true for kids. I don't let my kids wear shoes that have stiff soles because it just demands nothing of the foot and therefore prevents the foot from being strong and flexible and durable. The next thing, minimize your time wearing high heels. They are so bad for your feet, for your Achilles, for your ankles, and then, of course, by way of connection, that makes them bad for your knees, it makes them bad for your hips, it makes them bad for your back. You're gonna go to a wedding, cool, jam those feet into some cute, sexy heels, but take them off as soon as possible and don't make it a regular thing. So those are things that you can do without walking backwards, without getting a sled. But then if we want to take it to the next level, 5 minutes daily walking backwards. Again, if you're doing this on a treadmill, you aren't going to get the same benefit if it's a motorized treadmill. And if you are doing a motorized treadmill, make sure you hang on to the rails. But it's better to have a manual treadmill, or just don't turn your motorized treadmill on and then push to move the belt with your feet. It's just putting that pressure from the bottom up, strengthening the toes, improving the flexibility of the toes, strengthening all the muscles in the feet, and thereby helping your knees, your back, your hips, all of that. So walk backwards 5 minutes a day. Another thing that you can do is farmer's carries. I feel like I talked about this not that long ago. Maybe on the episode with Morgan, I was talking about how the start of my workout every single day are farmer's carries. That means you are carrying weight in each hand, and you can start with 2 pounds if you want, right? I'm now, what do I do? I think 60-pound kettlebell in each hand. That might take you years to work up to. You might not ever get there. You might not ever want to get there. That's totally fine. But I do 2 minutes on 1 minute rest, 4 rounds of that. So 8 minutes total of farmer's carry. And I personally do them barefoot. That allows me to really activate my foot and work those muscles and that flexibility in my feet. If that makes you uncomfortable because you're carrying weight, no sweat, just keep in mind you want the wide toe box, you want minimalist shoes with a flexible sole. And then the other thing is sled pushes. Most gyms will have a sled or something like it. And is you don't just want a sled push, which if you think about pushing a sled, right, you're activating through your toes with every single step, but you want to do sled pulls as much as you do sled pushes. So you want to do as much backwards as you do forward. And I, like I said, I've been doing that at the gym for a while now, but I got one for home because I want to do 10 minutes every single day. So what I will do either on the concrete around my pool or on my grass, but I'm just worried about it tearing up my grass over time. But Chris said it won't. We'll see. I'll let you know. But I'm going to do 10 minutes of push-pull. So I'll push until I get to either the end of the concrete or to my fence, and then I'll pull back, and then I'll push again, and I'll pull, and I'll do that 10 minutes every single day, and I'll be working up in weight. So I'll probably start with the empty sled, see how that feels. Maybe then I'll add a 10-pound plate. And I'll do that for a while, then adding and adding and adding over time, but 10 minutes a day, forward and backwards, sled push and pull. And yeah, every day. I'm not talking, it's not like a 40-minute intense workout. I think of it more as body maintenance work than an actual workout. But of course, the heavier the sled gets, that might change things. And it might be where there's like 1 or 2 days a week that are a heavier sled and the rest of the days are lighter sleds, but still doing that 10 minutes loading through the toes. So again, the things to do, be barefoot more often. Make sure that you are wearing shoes that have a wide toe box, and ideally shoes also that are more minimalist in design, that have a flexible sole so that your foot can still grip the ground even when you are wearing shoes. Minimize your time in high heels. Walk backwards daily. Farmers carries are great, and they're best if you are barefoot. And then sled push, sled pull. I know that there are so many questions and there can be so many aha moments. Like, I wish I knew this earlier in my life. I certainly wish I knew this earlier in my life. I've been doing things wrong. Or gosh, is this thing that I'm doing actually beneficial? Should I be doing something else? Morgan Bungers, who was on the show a few weeks ago, he and I are going live for a totally free webinar on November 21st. That's a Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern time. You do have to be registered for it. And if you want a replay, you also have to be registered. So you can go to primalpotential.com/webinar to register. primalpotential.com/webinar to register. And then after we did the episode and I got so many questions like, oh my gosh, I know I need to get stronger, but I'm not sure how to start, or I have these physical limitations or injuries, so I don't know what to do that accommodates those things, or I have a fear of getting hurt and this is all really new to me, so what's a good place to start? Morgan and I are putting together for the start of the year a 5-week program to really teach you how to get strong and do it in a way that reduces your risk of injury while also improving your metabolism and your body composition and your anti-inflammatory properties in your body and so much more. So we're going to be talking about that, but also teaching on the topic on this free webinar. I'd love for you to be there. Even if you've got holiday plans that week, make sure you're registered so that you can get the replay. primalpotential.com/webinar to register. The webinar is Tuesday, the 21st of November at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And walk barefoot, do some sled pushes, and stop wearing high heels. I'll talk to you guys soon. Have a great day.